Blog Talk Radio.
I know you are my friend.
The splendor of the King, woven majesty, let all the earth rejoice, the earth rejoice. He rests in bed, and darkness tries the trembles at his board, trembles at his board. How great is our God, sing with me. If our God, over the high, how great is our God. He's dead, and time away is dead, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. How could you be one? And I feel the light and love. Bring is our God, bring with me how great is our God, over me how great is our God. Over every heart is renewed.
Just want to thank you, Lord, for all you have done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. And Father, we just bless you and praise you this morning. Thank you for granting us another day, for keeping us through the night, oh God, and bringing us into this great day clothing us in our right mind and giving us the activities of our limbs. Oh, God, we just bless you and praise you. We thank you, oh, God, because you have done for us what no one else can do. Oh, Father, you continue to wash us in the blood of your Son, Jesus. Continue to keep us safe in this troubled world, oh, God. We just honor you this morning with all that you have done in us. We are honoring you with it right now, giving you back all that you have given to us and more. Oh, God, all that we can give, we want to give to you, Lord God, our time, our money, our God, our words, our love, our kindness, oh, God. Lord, we thank you for mercy and grace this morning. Thank you for forgiving us, oh, God. Lord God, for looking beyond our faults and seeing our needs, oh, God. Father, we ask you this morning that you would speak to us as you speak through your servant, that you would use her eyes, her ears, and her lips of clay. And as she speak, O God, we ask, O God, that you allow our hearts to be receptive, O God, that we not just to hear the word, but we are here, O God, to receive the word, O God, and activate the word. God, use her eyes, her ears, and her lips of clay, O God, to glorify your name, to edify your body, and terrify the devil. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Come on in, prophetess, and allow the Lord Jesus to use you. Come on in.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. God bless
Hallelujah.
You, Apostle. Amen. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, God bless you. Then I just want to make sure every time I come on that you hear me. I'm not out in the elements as I always be, or either sitting in the car and all that, but I'm inside today. But I just want to be sure that I'm heard today, because we just have so much activity going on, a lot of changes going on electronically, and as far as the frequency changes and poles going up, stuff coming down, amen, just a realignment of our surroundings that's having to do with communications or our connections through technology. And so I just want to say that every time I come on, because we've had so many interruptions and blackouts in various elements now that we are sitting in a time frame of the rising of AI, amen, artificial intelligence, other things coming in trying to think for us and to manipulate the mind or change it, brainwash it, sear it. Amen. It's all conducive to war against the mind, the changing of the most dominant mind in the world. It's supposed to be our minds and the ones that God gave us. We're the thinkers. We're the controllers in this realm, but we know that Lucifer is raising up other entities to assist him to cause interruptions, to bring division and to work on your hearings and the way you see things, in order that we don't get together, come together as we ought to be successful in the final war phase or the end game, is where we're standing, where we're facing today. But we do honor you and your wife and the ministry trusted in your care and this awesome, awesome radio show or radio blog or whatever, however they call it. Amen. But we thank God that we are not only looking at the kingdoms of worlds, but we are able to speak to worlds and to the kingdoms of men globally and states, cities, towns, when we were limited in our communications. And now, without even going to various places, we're still able to evangelize in this way. And I just thank the Lord that, you know, for most of us who are not as blessed or fortunate or have the doors open to travel as much as we desire to, but the Lord has provided a way that we who are responsible and given the care of his gospel to make sure his word go out, we have this outlet that we are moving and speaking to the world. We are speaking to worlds. We are speaking to the natural realm of things, as well as you have the ears of spirits and other beings listening to us and have the eyes on us, all eyes on us, praise God. And especially we who are steadfast in our consecration and holding on to truth, you know, and have not moved or shaken or wavered. We still got that same holy standard, believing in holiness, and never lost our consecration, our ability to fast. You know, so many have lost that. They have become too sickly, and that was a craft of the devil to make sure that you don't, because those are the ones who you can tell who were the most successful at one time. But now he has sown a deep weaponry, an affliction to stop that, because you can tell those were the ones who were, oh boy, bringing and will bring down the beast kind that we are face to face with today. That's going to only come out but by fasting and praying. Amen. Praise God. And then now the deception is going on that you can hardly ever find good food, real food. There's some manipulation there. There's war even in the God and in the food and other things. And so we thank God for you. Amen. Opening the doors again unto us. We salute you. And praise God. We thank God for you giving us a chance to share what the Lord has given to us, to the various doors and the ears and the hearts of the people that are opening and listening to your telecast, your radio show, and to us by the way of your watchtower. Praise God. And we thank God that we could add strength to each of you that are listening today, those who are humble enough to see us as no enemy, or to see us as no one arrogant, or to see us as someone, as Paul said, that they, when they see people going forth, they're thinking that you're only here to compete or to compare yourselves among each other. Paul said that to the Corinthian church. He said there are some that compare themselves among themselves, and they're competing among themselves, and they're not wise. They're counting, you know, every jot and tittle, and then you're supposed to. You're supposed to have good judgment and good discernment with people, common sense and understanding people, places, and things, because deception is coming in all disguises, and there are voices of other entities and of the realm of darkness that their vocals are attached to the human spirit vocals, and speaking through them, they are channeling through some folks. So there's nothing wrong with that. But we are certainly not here in competing or comparing ourselves, trying to declare how much we know and how much we have, whether we are poor, rich, none of those things. We are here to fight the devil. We are here to declare, amen, war against all evil, and to give the people to, as Paul said in Acts, chapter Acts, the book of Acts, in 28:16, I believe it is, hadn't been there in a while, but he said, was talking about the anointing and our ability to open the people's eyes and to turn them. We're asking God for that ability, the anointing to be so great and strong, because only God can deal with the human spirit. Only God can open up the place that he's reserved for himself alone. Only there's some places inside of us, some rooms, some chambers, some secret places and thoughts and things that goes on within us, and the place that God has reserved for himself only, and every human being, human person. We're not talking about other entities, because they already know they are enemies of God and there's no salvation in them or for them. But God has reserved a place and a time, has set a number upon the time that he will reach and deal with every individual on a personal level, and every nation, every family, every kindred, every tongue, all the kings of men, the gospel will roll around the earth. And when it rolls to that dimension of that individual, that state, that country, that continent, praise God, amen, you know that the Spirit is open to hear, because can't no man come to the Almighty. Hallelujah. Except he draws them. They can't even hear until an appointed time. And I know, and I've learned this over the course of the years, all the times that I was going to church off and on as a little one, just to see a play on the crucifixion of Jesus. But I was seeing, but without comprehension. I was hearing, but I couldn't hear the voice of God attached there. Get the message from the heart of God, out of the mind of God, in even those particular settings. But God has reserved in all of us, after our years of passage through sin and darkness, glory to God, for our ears to open like ting. Oh, and then you start dreaming and seeing things and hearing things, and then all of a sudden getting a certain conviction over you that, hey, what is this? I've never seen this before. I've never heard this before. I've never felt this before. I believe God is speaking to me, and I've looked at certain scriptures over and over again, never could break it or plow it, get the richness of it, or the golden nugget, as somebody say, or the hidden treasure, or the thing that God has reserved for his people, because people can open the word all the time and never get the hidden treasures of it, or the things that was hid for us from the enemy. So enemies cannot decipher. They cannot break that word. I mean, they've been trying for centuries, for generations, trying to see what it is that God is saying to this particular people, which the whole book more so was for. It's a gift to Israel, true Israel, the true people of God, not the people in Israel, but the true Israelites, the true Hebrews. They will have that divine revelation. They know their connection with the Father. They will hear the voice of the Father unlike anyone else in any other nation, under any other creed, or any other tongue. Hallelujah. They will not understand it. They will preach all over it and around it. But to get to the heart of it, to get to the secret of God's heart, to get God to reveal the secret of his word, the things, sometimes he even hid for himself. The scriptures say the secret of the faith is belong to God, and then he'll reveal the other things that for us corporately as a people or nation, and in our gatherings, he'll reveal it to the prophets. And then there's some things he gives to the prophets for themselves as a good old lollipop, something precious, as your most favorite pie or cake. If it's something special, and you try over and over again to give it to somebody or to relate it, and you often lose it. I've had God to mingle my tongue or to tie it up or something to strike me, and I said, oh, okay, that wasn't meant for me. I was getting ready to say it, but it was stolen by a ping, a noise, somebody walking in, or somebody trying to get my distraction, or a movement of an animal of mine. And I said, okay. And the only reason why it was blocked out and wasn't allowed to go forward because it wasn't for them, probably at that time, of just something that I've known and I've kept and finally wanted to reveal, and it wasn't for them. God said, that was your ornament of the Spirit. That was your pearl I've given you. That was your piece of bread, your manna, praise God, that was for you. So everything I give you as a prophet, a prophetess, or you as an apostle, a pastor, is not for everybody. And even some things God give you on the private, amen, even he will fragrance your soul, he will fragrance your body, your soul and your spirit. So when you come out, people don't understand it. What about you? Has something has changed about you? What did you see? What did you hear? There's something about the scent from your body. Your words are sounding more smoother than butter. You know, it's like honey, what you just said, oh man, permeate through the triune of that individual, of that congregation. And you know, and so we're not here to bring division or to show respect to persons or to show that we hate anyone, any place, or thing God says all souls are mine, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And so we know all souls are the Lord, and he is trying to reach souls. That he has made, and that through divine order and commandment, is for men to go on and to love, to get his wife, love her, make love to her, and multiply, produce nations. And Satan is fighting against the man to steal his glory, to keep him out of the glory realm, as well as fighting women and their womb, and to assure that men will never mingle or be intimate with that woman, that the nations will continue, that will outnumber any number of fallen angels that have failed in any army that he's gathered globally out of the physical realm and the spiritual realm to set themselves against God and his people. But we know we are here in the end gathering together, the people of God gather. Oh, praise God, the humble, the bold, those bold as lions, those who have the strength and the fearless, like the Incredible Hulk, such as my son, Minister Jones, I call Incredible Hulk. We're looking for fighters. We're looking for warriors. We're trying to gather the elect. We're trying to strengthen, hallelujah, the things that remain. Oh, we're trying to strengthen that which remain, that which seem to be or have continual confession of, I'm feeble, I'm feeble, I'm so weak, I'm weak. We are trying to bring a word, Apostle Calendar and I and everyone that passed through this radio blog is to get you to say, stop confessing weakness. You're going to be snared by your word. You're going to be snared by your word. You got to be careful what you say, because there's entities that go along and grab it. You're commissioning a thing. You're loosening stuff. You're giving the devil advantage over what you say, because we have what we say. And so we got to be wise in our speakings, what we say, how we say it, when we say it. Oh, my God. Because we are in a war. Oh, we are in the finale of the war, and the finale means the end games, the final phase of games, the final phases of the thrones. Amen. The final war in the finals of the dividing of things, the separation of things. As Daniel said, the consummation of all things. Amen. We are seeing the proof of who's with who. And who is against who? Praise God. Who's of the devil and who's of the Almighty? Praise God. And I thank the Lord that I'm yet over here on the Lord's side. Amen. And I'm happy about it. We used to sing a song under the tent and say, over on the Lord's side makes me mighty happy. Over on the Lord's side make me mighty glad. And I'm over on the Lord's side yet today. And I'm happy. Glory. And I don't know why I'm feeling the anointing all in the back of my head and my neck. I guess my neck, there's been some discomfort in my pillows at night because I've been dreaming a whole lot. And I say, oh, God, feel like I got when you have something in your neck or problems with your neck or crick in your neck, because I'm turning, tossing and turning. At my pillow at night, and you know there's warfare in the bed as well, and entities that desire to have you then, and then entities that desire to, if you don't cover yourself with prayer, that will come in the night to do a little pillow talk or to bring visions, false dreams, and they deal with you there. But I tell you, the Almighty, the Most High, hallelujah, has been dealing with me upon the night watch, and I've been seeing some things of the night that will happen as darkness covers the earth, not only darkness but night, and come to a point where people won't see daylight. Amen. Praise God, as the days become vehemently darker and evil, because, you know, the scripture tell us, as the war intensifies, amen, the things that be of God will be standing with us and made by God will back us up. Amen. But it comes a point in the battle that even the sun, hallelujah, is going to refuse to shine on a world that has totally rebelled against the Most High God. Amen. The sun is not going to shine soon. I know it's come to upcoming time of prophetically, as the scriptures say, that the things that has happened will happen again. Praise God that it will happen as it happened in days of old. And some of the sun will do things and obey other men of God, such as Elijah did and such as Joshua, and some of them spoke to the elements. These things will repeat again. There will be some man of God, the woman of God, that will speak to elements and cause things to move, to shut down in their behalf, because they walk just that close to the Creator, and because they've kept their body in sanctification and honor. Praise God. And then there's times it will be so grossly dark and so immoral that the sun is going to be rebellious. It won't even give us light on evil people, workers of iniquity, abominable people. The moon, likewise, hallelujah, will refuse to shine. And so war will intensify, and the war, this evil generation, there are people in the midst of us, speaking over us every day. People you're listening at in the news and from the Senate and from the White House and the Pentagon and every other established, supposed to be superior people, superior to anybody else on earth, that are working against God and have taken counsel against God, who have become fools. They believe in their heart and their very actions and their choices. Over the nations been given to them, the authority given them, that they are against God. And I ruled here. The people chose me. And so I'm going to be their God. I'm going to be their ruler. And I'm going to be lords over them. So it will go like I say. And so you'll see the earth start trembling and going through a lot of changes and changing the course of the seasons, changing. Moving a different way and not moving on schedule and timely and in divine sync as the Lord commanded it to be so, but it seems like it's passing over. And the worst seasons have happened to the most rebellious states and countries and towns. These are the places that's been visited by the days of Noah and having floods to remind you of what I did in the beginning. Oh, I ain't playing with y'all in the end. Praise God. But we are in a war. Oh, my God. it ain't hardly no rest, Apostle. And I'm hearing you say, you know, somebody else come on and speak, and that way I can get some rest. I know you're resting and doing things around the house, keeping things as men do around the house, you know, and working order and then going out trying to make provision for all the things in your care that need those provisions. Praise God. Amen. And then the work on people who are not even physically or biologically related to us, we're laboring for them. Governing and ruling and teaching and preaching and prophesying and praying for a people, trying to bring them in alignment with the vision that God has given you and with the Most High, trying to hurry up and get them ready, grow them and develop them and bring them to that place that God has been trying to prepare all of us for this day, finale, the end of things, as Peter has declared. 1 Peter 4:7, the end of all things are at hand. And then Paul talks in Ephesians 6:10, now finally, means the finale, meaning the end of things, the last of it, the conclusion of things. And we see that we are in the conclusion, praise God, of all things, praise God. And so we thank the Lord, amen, that the only real rest I get is in prayer. My son tell me all the time, he say, Mama, he said, my baby boy and Minister Jones, he said, Mama, you need to rest. I said, oh, I know I need some rest because I don't get enough sleep. And then I'm telling you, visions and dreams is beating me up, keeping me up. And every night I wake up the same time between 3 a.m. 5 a.m. and then to prepare and get on the prayer line at 5 a.m. Praise God. And so I say, Son, there's no rest. Don't you see how things are? I say, even if I went on a vacation, I wouldn't know how to do that, how to rest. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so occasionally I get the horseback ride or to bowl or to go skating or to, you know, do some of those fish. I love fishing. It brings me down to a relaxation. But I'm still hearing things and seeing things no matter where I go and what I do. And I'm eating some of my favorite things. I'm watching one of my favorite movies, TV shows, and I love cartoons, too. I love documentaries, especially ancient documentaries. And even in watching that, man, there's always something revealing itself, something speaking or something coming out at me or stand out at me. So it's work all the time. But I'm glad my mind is working. I'm glad that I'm in my right mind, considering all the people I have met in passing that are on meds just for a functional mind. You know, if they are not dealing with entities that trying to steal the mind, like the rulers of the darkness of this world, trying to bring your mind from a lighted place, a revealed place, to a dark place, along with a lot of other things that they do, trying to sear the conscience or erase the mind or give amnesia, make you forgetful or fix it where you can't contain or retain or remember. Praise God. Amen. I'm thankful for my mind, and I fight every day to keep this mind that I have. And we used to sing a song, I got a mind to live right. I got a mind to live right every day since Jesus gave me a mind to live right. I got a mind, hallelujah, yes, Lord, to live right every day. I got a mind to pray right. I got a mind to pray right every day since Jesus gave me a mind to pray right. Hallelujah. I got a mind to pray right every day. So you ought to thank God for your mind. And you ought to thank God that he has arrested some of you. You probably wouldn't be listening to this telecast or this podcast or a radio show or blog if it had not been for God has some specific reason, a place that he's trying to place you or letting you get this amount of information and revelation, because he's trying to promote you. He's getting ready to fire somebody, or he's already fired somebody, and he's making a replacement. And you could be the one to replace some of the very people that you're looking at, that you think that are seated upon a throne or sitting somewhere, and they don't even know, but you can tell the changes in people. And I certainly know when somebody has been fired, when they have did a massive sin or their unrepentant sin, that sound is different. You can't hear the approval of God, the anointing on it. And then sometimes it could be that we pick the wrong message and anointing is not saluting it or on it strongly. And then there's times when we did things wrong and it cuts it. And you're on a punishment and don't know it. You're on a punishment and don't know it. Praise God. But I tell you, people of God, family and friends, both male and female, boys and girls, we're in a war. We're in a real war. And it's a matter of life and death. We have threats all around us, over us. We have contracts on us. We have plots against us, ditches that have been digged for each of us. Amen. Stumbling stones cast in your way. We're being set up on the four corners of the earth as a people of God, as ones who are determined to live for Jesus and to go all the way and determined to keep the cross before them and the world behind them. We are in a war, and we need each other. I need your back up against mine. Glory to God. I need the weapons in your hand to be set and target around me as well as you need me, and I need you. And we're all a part of God's family. And you got to stand with me and agree with me. As long as I'm in the Word, you should say yes, Lord. You should say amen and not just sit back trying to be a fault finder, praise God, but a fault mender. We're saying something to grow us all, to cause us to flourish. Amen. That will cause us to abound, or to ascend, or to stand strong in the face of adversity, to add strength to you, add faith to your faith, virtue to your virtue, so that when adversity comes and when the final roar, the greatest of the roaring of the satanic lion comes, you will be able to stand in the face of it and not faint. Your strength won't be far or small if you just listen to the people of God that are strong, the ones who are seasoned and have seniority in the spirit, amen, that sound timeless, that they can teach out of time zones, teach in and out of seasons. Praise God, they have the ability to soar and ride upon the high places of the earth that sound like they're seated in heavenly places. They're the ones you want to cleave to as we enter into the final war phase that's life-threatening. Praise God, this is a matter of life and death. Praise God. And I want to talk to you today. Amen. And I finished giving honor. Let me give honor right here to my son, who's always standing with Apostle Callender and always support me when I come on. Amen. He's trying to make it home out of Kentucky, on back to Jackson. Amen. And we pray his traveling grace. And I thank God for the earnest desire of him to please the Lord. Amen. Blessings on your son. And to Apostle the other apostles, praise God, amen, and all the pastors, evangelists, teachers, reachers, and everybody on this live today, all of you, both male and female, made by the hand of God, amen. We thank God for you, but we are in war, and we've been talking to you for some time and dealing with that, going in and out of a series of teaching that we have been doing on the depths of Satan. The Lord gave me message a long time ago, and it started back in 1990, praise God, where I had wrote a little book and failed to get it published, but I wrote on and had it put in the archives of the United States of government, paid $20 at that time to have it put on file, patent, called The Depths of Satan, What the Church Must Know. And some people say, boy, you was writing and teaching out of time. My God, you was teaching things before time. But that's what God do. He give us stuff in advance. Before it comes, he don't wait till it come up on you, whatever you facing, and then try to explain it to you. No, we have an advance notice, understanding given to us from the beginning, just like God. When he in the beginning, he created the heaven and the earth. He did created the beginning of everything, the origins of everything, just like he declared, as Isaiah say, he declared the beginning, the end with the beginning. He gave it to us all in one book, in one walk. And even though some things were taken out for various evil, conniving reasons, praise God, but we know that whatever was taken and hidden or stolen, it will be returned. Amen. What is meant for us and what God has for us will be for us. And there's no enemy can bear it anywhere, rewrite it, do whatever you can. The Spirit of Truth will bring the ultimate divine revelation concerning the things that we are going to need for good strategy as we approach the final trying of the man's soul, the final test of our souls. Amen. The final trying of your soul in your final decisions, your final decision of your consummation on whose side you're going to be on. We're going to read a few scriptures in just a moment. Whose side are you on? Are you going to be on? You just got to know that you can't serve two masters. You can't fight from both sides. You got to get on one side or the other. And the Lord's side, you're going to be on Lucifer's side. And all that in and out, dibbling and dabbling, slipping and sliding, peeping and hiding. And you with God today, and then you with the devil and within the same day. Or you with light today, you in the light. And then tonight you'll walk in darkness and play with it and sleep with it, sleep with the enemy of God and fellowship with the enemy of God, a fellowship with Baal. The Bible say, what fellowship has light with darkness? That's what Paul told the church at Corinth. Praise God. But you got to make a decision as we are challenged, as war progresses, and the Lord's book of war is now open. The only reason why you hear the word war, we wasn't hearing that. We was hearing other words. There are other words that I've taught on this line concerning the discerning of the times and everything in it. We talked about discerning of the human spirit, the discerning and understanding of numerology, days and the moons, and what the red moon, the blood moon, the eclipse meant, and understanding, having all this information and revelation gives you good strategy. Then you'll know how to move and to move timely if you are listening. Are you listening? Are you just taking this just to jot something down and go try to preach it or teach it yourself instead of using it as arsenal, as a carabine gun, as a 6mm, come on, as a shotgun, praise God, as a 7-watt sword, as a pair of null chunks, praise God, or whatever it is that you use in your weapon of war, as a hunter, praise God. Amen. Or to defeat an enemy, you need to be sharpening it up now. You need to turn your pruning hooks into spears. We've been gardening for a while, have been in a little light afflictions for a while, but things are about to make a turn, and war is about to intensify. It will be spirit against flesh, and right now it's spirit against flesh. And God trying to demineralize the works of the flesh and to let you know how less important it is. Now, you keeping your body up, keeping your body well and healed so that your spirit can be mobile and tangible and can touch and help you through it as you continue in your totality of your triune, the body, soul, and spirit. And he's going to help you, but we are coming up on a war that it's going to take spirit to fight spirit. And you need spiritual understanding, insight, enlightenment. You're going to need spiritual weapons. You're going to need the word, too. You're going to have that word and know that word, because the word is spirit. You're going to fight the enemy with it. How? You're going to fight the enemy with truth. Oh, he loves lies, and he don't want to hear the truth. The devil wants lies because he know somewhere mingling the truth, he's going to have to face the fact that, man, somebody going to slap me in the face in a minute. Somebody going to preach from the pulpit in a minute or on the radio blog, on the radio, and remind me of the truth I'm running from, trying to hide from, that I'm going to the lake. He don't want you to say the devil is going to the lake of fire, him and his angels. Amen. So you're going to have truth. You got to sling that as a weapon. Oh, and he talk about your past and try to remind you of your past. You remind him of his future. Oh, to the lake you go. Oh, to the lake you go. You're going to the lake of fire. Oh, to the lake you go. Praise God. Amen. The devil is going to the lake of fire. Him, his angels and all his children and the unholy Trinity, that thing they call the beast, the dragon, and the false prophet, and all the workers of iniquity, and all those who have taken the mark of the beast and still have the mind of the beast and operating in the nature of the beast and letting the devil use their body, soul, and spirit, who's sleeping with the enemy, sleeping with Incubus, Succubus. Amen. If you don't get sanctified, you go into the lake with him, and it shows you right now, right there, that in the end, we win. That stand and with the spirit of truth, that stand kingdom of God and stand in the fullness of truth. Praise God. And you're going to need, it's going to take spirit to fight spirit. You got to have the Holy Ghost. You got to have a new spirit in your body, not the spirit of the world, but a new spirit, the Holy, some people prefer to say Holy Spirit. So they say, we ain't got no ghost. No, we don't have no ghost. It's just called letters. Sometimes it just sounds more powerful to me when you say, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. It sounds more powerful, more like thunder. You know, versus Holy Spirit, refine, acute, or you know, soft mannerism. I guess I'm just an old warrior and one that thrusts, and boy, I like them drums, and I can move and I can shake when and other folk can fatigue, but I am what I am. I was raised up a military kid and learning judo and learning, my daddy was teaching us how to use nunchucks, and I have a pair of them. I got a pair from Minister Jones, and I got samurai swords and other things prepared to use both naturally and spiritually. We are prepared on both sides with weapons and the things that the scripture has showed us how, and when history has repeated itself in warfare, you got to be prepared on both sides, naturally and spiritual. Even though he said that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, and so the weapons of our warfare, we can't use carnal weapons to fight a spirit. We have to use spiritual weapons to fight a spirit, but to fight a natural enemy, like you got clones and shapeshifters and everything that's not human, skinwalkers, where they've got stolen skin and created bodies for other beings and entities to dwell in, to look similar, and that's where the deception goes on, because we are not watching the skin of people. We are not watching the lines and the wrinkles and scars and look like you've been something been sold on or added. And I mean, I'm telling you, discerning of spirits and times and elements, people, places, and things, it takes time to look things over. And when you look at it, it's a Kodak moment. It's being sealed and recorded, and it goes in the chamber. So when you see it again, you won't have time to do a whole lot of study on it, but it will erect the visions. It will put in remembrance. It'll bring back to remembrance what you've already learned and seen at the moment of the temptation or the war or the accusation or the charge of evil against you who are righteous. But you got to make a decision now, whose side you're going to be on. And that altar call is given often on this line. You got to make a decision on whom you're going to serve. You can't serve the Lord and the devil too. You got to make a decision and stand on that side and do everything you can to conform to that very image and likeness. Praise God. Let me read these scriptures and pray, and we're going to go right on into the word of God. I just wanted to lay that foundation. Amen. Of why we are here, to add to your stature, to add to your strength, your inheritance and my inheritance, as Paul said that in that Acts 26 and 18, we are opening your eyes and turning you from darkness to light, make you get an attitude with darkness and get tired of darkness, living in darkness. You want to be seen in the light. You want to shine. You want to glow. And it's in the glorious light. You got to get in God. You know, light has its own darkness, but they prefer a lower level of lighting, red lights, blue lights, dimmer lights. But in righteousness, We're able to bright light, the purest form of light, white light, bright light, something that's going to whiten us and lighten us, and we'll know when we're becoming lighter. Praise God. Amen. Because the word shines. When you're getting full of light, the word is light. The word is spirit. The word is a weapon. Praise God. The word that gives you a freedom. It liberates you. When it gets in you, oh, you can tell when there's a when righteousness in you, a right word is in you, a word that's full of light, that's full of the glory of God. It is the glory of God, the mind of God. It makes your countenance shine. It mocks you. It really mocks us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now the anointing is going down through my back. I can feel it running through my back and in my cheeks. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I guess the Lord, just the anointing, the Holy Ghost says, please, and patting my back and, you know, give you a stroke on the cheek like husbands and wife and somebody that love you. They're occasionally, like, when I was a little girl, my mama, from time to time, when I please her, she'd grab my cheek and say, I love you, girl. My grandmama used to rub my cheek. Girl, you's a pretty girl. You're going to grow up a pretty. She would stroke my cheek. And you'll feel the anointing like that. You'll feel the power of God running through your face. And sometimes it gets so intensely hot, it make you sweat. Oh, you go through all kind of phases when you're dealing with fire. When you're dealing with the power of God. Amen. Praise God. Now, today I want to talk to you, praise God, and we've been talking about war. And I want to talk about, praise God. Amen. We want to continue. Can y'all hear me? I hope you can still hear me. Praise the Lord. I know we got some distractions.
Yes, ma'am.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. I hear somebody else in the background talking. I thought they were trying to tell me they couldn't hear me. Thank you, Minister Jones, for alerting me that you can. Praise God. But listen, we want to deal with another phase of the Lord's book of war being open, and why we see the words magnify in all the mouth of just about of all the those in the media, in the news realm, or the meet the press meetings and all the political meetings, the war and trying to decide who would be the spokesman of the house, war, this one against that. There's a sword in the earth. There's a separation going on. And Daniel talks about that, about the final consummation of all things, where God, there's a demand for everybody. This is your time to make your final decision. You ain't going to have the time you had, and you're comfortable now, and it's easy to make it. Then you're being thrust or forced. You need to do it while it's easy, while you have peace and while you have time without a lot of distraction to decide who you're going to serve or whose side you're going to be on. Praise God. Whose side you going to go? We're going to read and we're going to talk a little bit more. Let me look at my time and see how far I've gotten. 11:48 here in Tennessee in Central Time. I want to look at the book. We're going to read through these real fast and just continue to talk to you. All right? The words of exhortation and hopes that you be blessed and hear what we are saying. Hear what the Spirit is saying to us as a gathered church, praise God, and believe it and receive it and conceive it. Let it get on in your heart. Let it go down to the marrow of your bones, that you receive strength from your bones all the way out to the last layer of your skin. And when it's received, there will be a visible manifestation that the word is compacting in you. But In Numbers, I want to look in the Old Testament, and I'm reading out of King James Version in your hearings today, one of my favorite versions. And as often, I will read other translations. Some of you others may have other translations, but Numbers, the 21st chapter, verse 14. And the topic of this message will be, I guess, part two of the Lord's Book of War is open, Apostle Calendar. The Lord's Book of War is open. Praise God. And that's why there's a declaration of war everywhere, and there's an utterance, and they can't shift or change it unless this is closed. When God's mind shift, then you won't hear that three-letter word anymore. It will go on to something else. The word that's magnified the most, it was orchestrated and released and approved by God. As the politicians often say in our realm, they'll say, and this message is approved by me. And so nothing, absolutely nothing, and no one is written or visible to anyone's eyes unless it's been approved by the Most High. Because if you even decide how your life, because he gave you, now you choose whom you're going to serve. You choose today what you set before your eyes and in your hearing. You choose what you want to loose, what you want to bind. And I agree with whatever your choice is, because I'm a God of free will. I'm not going to make you do anything. I'm not going to make you be saved. I'm not going to make you be strong. You have to decide what you want to do. You have to decide where you're going and who you will stand with, or who you marry, or what church you're going to be in. Amen. How you going to eat? How you going to sleep? You have to determine the things that's given to your strength, them things God reserved for your strength to contain or to obtain or to retain. And there are some things that God have to do. Nobody but he can do for us and with us. But you have to decide whether you're going to be with the Lord or us, the devil and his angels. But Numbers 21, the 21st chapter. And I just want to take a portion out of some verses, so I'm going to kind of just give you partial verses. Some I'm just going to read partial verses because I'm trying to make a point here. But it's in the Word, and whatever portion you get is still compact with truth, and the Word has power in it. It's not only spirit. It's going to be a visitation upon it, an anointing upon it. It's not only living. Praise God. Amen. But it's going to be a power. He said the kingdom of God is not in word only, but in power. Each word verbatim has power upon it. You receive in power at the hearing of this word. Amen. Numbers chapter 21, verse 14, and it's short, talking about the wars of God and God's books, so many other books that we don't have with the 66, but it's referring to the book of wars. And during the time of war, it says, wherefore it is said, now it's said in the book of wars of the Lord, in the Lord's book of wars. You know, we have our books and God has his too. And if we don't, you know, we really have need the Spirit of God to disciple truth, because so many books in the world and so many have their version of what God is saying and their interpretation, their revelation, or they're going on the doctrines or the creeds of their organizations. You know, you have the doctrines of men, the commandments of men, and the doctrines of devils that have caused the word of God to be of none effect. And Paul encouraged us in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, not to be too caught up on the enticing words of man's wisdom, how they break it down and how they describe it all the time. Look at it in the word for yourself. Search the word for yourself. So now we're understanding the shift, and Lord, what is this we're facing? What are you saying now? Now, there's some crafty quietness going on, some crafty mutation or muting, a silencing, a dumbing down, a numbing down the sound and words. But he said, it is said in the the book of the wars of the Lord. Somebody say, God make war too. God is a God of war, and he's a God of peace. It all depends on the circumstances. It depends on the condition of the estate of the state of mankind. Now, in the book of war, if you really want to know what's going on, you got to look in the Word of God. Study wars in the Bible, all the different types of wars and where they happen the most, the geographical location of the nation, of the tongues of the people, where it happened, what happened during that time in war, what did God do, what did they do, what did God say, what did he say, because you already been told in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and 3 that what was is now, and what has been is coming, and history repeats itself. What the last generation seen and experienced or heard, you will see it in the very last one, which is where we're at in time. But it's sad. We want that information. We want the counsel of God when it comes to warfare. We need the strategy of God. It's in the book of war. God got his own written testimony on how he won, he won, he won, he won, he conquered. We won because of God. He showed you what he did. And in his book of war, he didn't have to fight for himself. He ain't fighting for himself. He's not even fighting to defend himself. It's the people that he warred against. He came down to fight for against their enemies. That's what's in the book of war. God standing in defense of his people. God coming to vindicate his people. He coming to save his people and not let the enemy get the advantage that they want to get or think they have over his people. But he's an on-time God, and he show up timely. And when he does, he shows out. And so now, and I was looking through YouTube this morning and yesterday, all week long, in fact, trying to see what everybody is saying on the book of wars. And they're trying to say, well, there's no, you can't find it. And now all of a sudden they say, now they have found it. See, they get it and they try to rewrite and add and take it away from so the people won't get the 100% purity or get the infallibleness of it, where there's no imperfections in it. It's to the T, every dot is I's dotted, and every T is crossed. Every jot and tittle is in place. He don't have to add and take away. He just tell it straight up like it is. But when man get hold to some things, they just scramble it like an egg. They add and they take away from it, giving it to the people as it is, right division, just like you see it. No add, don't take away from it. If God said, said it, just like it was said, word verbatim, go ahead and take away, because that's going to be the power in it. That's the thing that's going to wake them up. That's the thing that's going to break, oh, praise God, the yoke off of the people. That's the thing that's going to open their eyes, oh, God, and take the blindness off of their eyes and mind when we tell the vision, just like we saw it and we preach it, just like we see it in the word, not put our little additives in it. But we're looking in God's heart and his mind on war. How do we win this, Lord? We see all of this warring around us. We see the threats. We hear the threats. They're slinging it in numbers. They're slinging a lot of nines, Lord. You're allowing a lot of nines to fall, meaning judgment. Something bad is about to happen. The threats of 11s, the threats of 13s. Praise God. Lord, what is this we see? Do we fight this or do we stand still and let you do it? And we know that we are in a kairos moment. We are moving. We are not moving chronologically. We are not moving by our time. We are watching the Spirit of God. This is our time, God. This is the compass. This is, hallelujah, God. Moving, and this is God saying, move now. When you see him move, you move. Then you know, praise God, you're going to come out safe. But in the book of wars, he said in that 14th verse, And it shows where he did. Who is he? God. God did in the Red Sea. What he did at the Red Sea is proof that God will come to save his people. Amen. At the plot of the wicked, the highest leader, come on, Pharaoh was behind him and his army. The head man came out. The chief of Egypt. Oh, they came after the children of Israel. And you see what God did? The song says, Pharaoh's army came and all of them got drowned. They got drowned. They come out and say, well, let them take your people now. And we let them go. And you would thought they would just stay back out of all the plagues that they'd seen and all the whipping God gave them, no warning, touch not, handle not my anointing, touch not, handle not my people. I say, let them go. Let them go, because if you don't, the thing that you're plotting against them, the ditch you're digging for them, is going to fall on you. You're going to be the one to fall in the ditch. You keep bothering with God's people. You keep touching God's people. You keep running your mouth. The same judgment you measure out would be melt back to you. God said in my book, I show you, I'm going to show you every time me as a father standing up for my son and my daughter. I'm going to show you in the book of wars. He said, in there you're going to see, and it's a reminder how I will fight for you. If you just, as son said, if you just be still and let the Lord fight your battle. And then we sing a song, Lord, fight my battle, Lord, fight my battle, 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 I can't fight it, fight my battle, I can't fight it, fight my battle, oh Lord, fight my battle, oh Lord, fight my battle. We used to sing that and tear it up, and they have the old drum, without the whole drum section, just a big drum, and they had a boom, 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 boom. I'm telling you, we sang it until the vibrations of the drum connect with us, and it got in our bones, and we would start dancing, and before you know it, people start screaming and hollering and surrendering. God, I give this fight to you. I give this battle to you. Fight my battle. I can't fight against the government. They plotting against us. They trying to kill us. They spraying stuff on us. They injecting stuff on us. They putting stuff in our food. I don't know what to do against the viruses and the plagues, the chemicals in the food. You're the one. Let your spirit stand up in my body. Oh, praise God, to break this yoke, to keep it from penetrating. God said, I've shown you in the book of war is just to remind you that I do fight for what belongs to me, and I will fight for you. I will fight for you. And he showed us in one portion. He reminded us of those two things, of what he did in the Red Sea. Israel was coming. Oh, here they come. And I bet you someone was running. Oh, they behind us. They behind us. And the walls of water still on the side. Then God, Moses said, don't worry. The Lord got it. The Lord got us. He got our back. Don't worry. Just come on. Walk in peace. You ain't got to really run. Just walk on cross. Amen. Walk it out. And then he showed them at the brooks and in the brooks of Arnon. And you're looking at what's plotting now. And the whole war is about jealousy. Satan jealous over man and God's love for man and patience with man and God's mercy on man. And he forgive us for our ups and downs and people's in and out and you know it's sin and in which I live right. You know, you keep falling and stumbling, some willfully, some because of, through ignorance they fall and the crafts of people and they didn't see it coming and end up making a mess or end up in a mess. Praise God. And Satan is jealous that we have a chance for repentance. We've been given another day and we have not been permanently sentenced to the lake or in hell. Every day you got a chance that you breathe to say, Lord, have mercy, and Lord, forgive me. And they don't like that because there's no salvation. They cannot be forgiven. Satan's judgment is set. Amen. God don't want to hear him say, forgive me. I ain't stuck in that, you say. Your judgment is set. You just do what you can do. I'm going to let you run havoc. I'm going to let you see. You keep trying, my servant. And God even said, did you consider my servant Job? I know the ones that's going to stand. I know the ones who won't bend the bow. I know the ones that's going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth as long as I help them and with them. I know who's with me and against me. Did you consider trying them? And God won't put no more on us than we can bear. He's saying the brooks of Arnon, and you see that. And when you're dealing with that, today's Arnon, history repeating itself, is Abraham's sons, Isaac and Ishmael. The war of the oldest son, Ishmael, against the baby boy's son, Isaac, which brought two nations. Coming out of the seed, the womb, we come through the womb of Sarah. And Ishmael come out of the womb, a nation came out of Hagar, which produced the nation of Islam or the Iraqi people or whatever you want to call them, or the Muslims. And this was the same war here that's arising today, that's on the rise today. Family feud. They had the same dad as Abraham, but a different mama, different baby mama. And Arnon, God defended them. In Arnon, you had the Islamic nation then, along with the Amalekites, those of the Caucasus Mountains, come out of the Caucasus Mountains, come down to war against the seed of God, the seed of Abraham, whom the promise, whom Jesus came down through from generation to generation, from one clean womb out of another, clean womb. He passed through the gates of one woman through another to that bloodline came to completion to the time of that prophecy. And so we're looking at the Lord, the time that we're looking at, what we're looking at in time, at this time, is the Lord's book of war being open. And we see it has an effect in more than the one way. Lord, war against the mind. Lord, war in the churches. War in the pulpit. War in the sister pastor against the general pastor. And war in the mother boy. War in the usher boy. War in the choir. And war among the ushers, the porters who are at the door. War around the altars. War, war, war. It started in the spirit before it went worldwide. It starts spiritually before it goes global to the nation. It started in the church, the division, the war started in the kingdom arena, the ones who was given power over the devil. He had to bring division and confusion so that the devil can expand his kingdom. And I tell you, it was so successful in a lot of ways. All right, we see that the Lord's book of war is open. Revelation, we're dealing with one. Revelation, the 12th chapter, verse 7. Revelation 12, we want to start reading at verse 7. We are continuing on that three-letter word, war. We are in this, dealing with the three-letter word, war. All right. 12 and verse 7 says, and there was war in heaven. You see where it started at first, the origin of it. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, which is one of Lucifer's titles in this last day. And the dragon fought and his angels. Praise God. And they prevailed not. They didn't win. The devil did not win then, and he will not win in the end or win now. Now, he gets a little advantage sometimes. He get a little few things won and things done on his side, try to make it look good. He probably feel a little good and wipe that on sweat. Man, I almost not get that one. I didn't almost win that. Golly. Boy, that was quite a fight there. Praise God. Amen. But here, the war started in heaven, but he did not win. The same enemy that those Michael and our angels fought, we're fighting that same enemy. And we're doing all we can by much prayer to keep him in his place. You stay where you stay, and where God created a place for you. He the Bible says he created hell for the devil and his angel. Why don't you get off of earth and go away to the place that God created? He wasn't satisfied living under the earth. God created a whole nother land with trees and forests and lakes and all that under the ground. We don't see it, but now the earth is disclosing, revealing that there is cities underneath the ground. We see it as it's just a solid ground, and it's just a solid ground. It's more to underneath the earth and in the belly of the earth than what we can fathom. And now everything has been commanded to open up and reveal itself. And so he said that the devil and they prevail not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Amen. And I'm telling you, if we really get back to fasting and praying like we ought to, amen, there won't be no place for the devil. There won't be nobody bound. There won't be nobody sick. Amen. You need a specific counsel and strategy in order to put this devil back in his place. Amen. That no evil would be among us. He said there was no place found anymore in heaven. What do we do when we are seated in heavenly places? What will you do when you are seated in heavenly places, when the throne room is open to you at the time of prayer and there's an invitation for everybody? Let's come on. We're going to meet for prayer, or let's get on the prayer line, or let's meet at the church for prayer. And that's God said, okay, they have set the time to open heavenly places. What are you going to do when you get in heavenly places? Will you do what the angels do? Amen. And fight against trespassers. The devil is a trespasser. The world was not given to him. The church was not given to him. Your family was not given to him. And somebody need to tell the devil where to get off at. He said, and the dragon was cast out. We got the rest of the titles, some more titles of the devil. He said, the dragon and that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And that was including us. We were deceived too. But thank God for the creation of the church, that we was able to pass through and be made aware of the things that's privy to us. He was cast out, that deceiveth the whole world, and cast out to the earth, and his angels cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength. This was prophecy concerning the birth of a Savior, our Lamb of God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brother is cast down, which accused them, come at us, before our God, for our God day and night. You know, we got a fault finder. It ain't enough that the people that you're supposed to be worshiping with, sleeping with, and even your husband and your wife, people that you sleep with and married to, accuse you of things. But you got, I mean, the devil is accusing you day and night before God, finding fault, looking for you to stumble, for you to fall, looking at your mistakes, trying to point out your errors. He accuses you day and night. If you'll never see anybody else approach you again and hear something that's been said about you, you better know that the devil is finding fault with you day and night. Them fallen angels, they're trying to get something on you and say, God, they did this, they did that, they said this, they went there, and you got us under judgment, you putting us into the lake, and there's no hope and no return back to heavenly places for us, but you let them keep getting by. Why are you mindful of them? Why are you so mindful of them humans? They don't know what they want. They don't know whether they want you or me. They don't know whether they want darkness or light. They say darkness is good. I make them feel good. I give them what they want. Amen. But the devil accuses us before God. He's the fault finder around you. Praise God. He accuses us before God day and night. But he says right here, no matter what he says, amen, if you're saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and you're students in that word, amen, and you're having a fasting and a praying life, he said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. A lot of people run from Jesus. They run from salvation. But you overcome the devil, the dragon, that old serpent, under, I don't care what title he come under, what disguise, you overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. That's one of your greatest keys to the kingdom. That's how you get in. That's how you get God's faith, by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Praise God. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. If your everyday life is your testimony, it ain't what you say. It ain't what you tell me to do, and you don't do it. As some preachers say, do as I say, not as I do. But it's by your testimony. Do you pass your test? Testimony. You had the test, and you went through. You made it through. You were faced with temptation. You went through. This is proof that you have overcome him. He said, and they love not their lives unto death. You're not lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. If I don't have a thing to do, I love being in church. I love being in the word, sitting, talking about the word with the people of God, because everything will be wholesome. It will be life-giving. It will be strengthening. I don't want nothing that's dark and causes me to feel some kind of way or far from God. But they love not their lives to death. There's no time that God asks for in my day that I won't submit and say, Lord, say fast. And you say, yes, Lord, you're going to give it a fast, a few hours, and then he'll just see if you're going to do it. And you think it's going to be a few days, and he'll say, okay, I just 3 hours, that's good. I just wanted to see if you was going to obey. Praise God. And he said, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. And but woe, woe unto the inhabitants, all you that live on earth, and in of the sea, people living in this sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath. He got a bad attitude. He got an attitude. Amen. Praise God. He come down as a hater. Oh, you looking at a satanic malice rising. The devil is malice. The devil has, he's full of malice. Amen. Praise God. And all he wants to do is fill your heart with contrary things of God. All he wants to do is cause pain and injury and continual distress in our lives. He don't have nothing good in store for you and I. He say, woe unto us. We got woe means, oh, danger, danger, danger. Be aware of danger, of trickery. Of those who seek to harm you. He said, come down to you because he knows that he had but a short time. And I'm sure y'all have heard this over and over again in your sermon. And when the dragon saw that he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. You see persecution of the church, persecution of the Israeli seed. You see the persecution. What nation you see more persecuted than any other nation, race, or creed on earth? The one he trying to keep his foot on. You see, he's come down. And he come down with wrath in the world of those without God is about to enter the wrath of Satan, his malice, his holy, unholy hatred toward us. 1 Chronicles 21:1. 1 Chronicles 21:1. And it reads thus, and this is out of the King James Version as well. It says, I'm using a portion of a fragment of this verse, part 8, and it says, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. Satan has stood up against the children, the true children of Israel, not the ones they're calling that. Now you got people in Israel, but they're not the true Israeli. There's a difference in the Jew and the true Israel. True Israel. And Satan has stood up against Israel. And he provoked David. Amen. He calls leadership to sin. Leadership to tell lies. Leaders won't tell the truth. Leaders to dibble and dabble with power, money, and forbidden sex. He provoked them, but he provoked David to censor or to count Israel when God said it's so many of the Israeli. Amen. Amen. One race outnumber all the races in the world. And he said, I got to count them. Man, it's so many. It's more than I thought it was of us. In fact, 12 tribes of us and other nations born out of us. He wanted to count them. They would say, my God, I'm king over all of these people. I need to count this out. Who's who, like they do today's census to determine and to write it down or put it in your phones. If you look up a town, it's going to tell you how many people's in this city, the population count, how many couples, what color they are, what gender they are, the marriage, whether it's a LGBT couple, or whether it's a male and female couple, how many children, how many schools. He did a census, and God said, don't you count them, David. I say, don't count them, because you can't, because they have the sand of the sea. They're everywhere, scattered everywhere. They're still scattered. He said, you can't count them. God said, don't count them, David. Went against God and count them anyway. And his sin loosed the judgment. You know, it's dangerous. That's what you can tell. When something outbreaks real bad over congregation, it ain't oftentimes because of what the people did in the congregation. It's what that was done in the pulpits of America and what was up on the head of the leader, whether it was the oil of God, the anointing, or something evil, it would be made visible in the womb of that ministry because the pastor has a special intimacy with the congregation. Is like a type of husband-wife relationship, like God's love for the church, Christ's love for the church, his bride. Same with the pastor, the intimacy, and the pastor is the one giving seed, the seed of God passing through him to make sure it's inserted in the hearts and the mind of the people. It is what he produced, what he does in the secret, what he does in his closet will spread throughout his congregation, his household, a man's household. This sin will come over the children. But leaders have to watch it because we got to know Satan has stood up against Israel, stood up against the church and true Israel, because there's a difference in the church, people being engrafted in through the church versus true Israel. All right? Not the ones that they made. Amen. He said he provoked leaders. Y'all better watch Satan trying to provoke you to do something wrong. And provoking in this term, it means that the devil trying to prevent you or bribe you to do contrary to what the word says, how to run the church, how much prayer to have, or not to shut the door. Don't put the lamps out. Don't let the fires go out of the altar. Don't do this. Don't allow this in the house of God. Don't put unholy people in office. And he provoke you, and the temptation are to twist and distort the services, to add and to take away, to make the church and form them like you, make them like you instead of God, to tell the truth or the whole truth or tell the truth partially. Satan can manipulate. He got to bind the strong man. He got to work against the pulpits of America. He got to work against the political pulpits in order to govern a nation. Those that are birthing people not only work against the woman whom the nations pass through her womb, she the one giving birth into the nation from the man's seed. And the pulpit, he's got to get hold to the pastor's mind and his ear so he can tell him, help him prepare the message. Oh, shift the message. Add and take away from the message. And all it do is cause power shortage, or you produce ill-informed people, short bus people, amen, disabled people, people unable to comprehend, people always sinning. People, sleeping people. All he want to do is make sure none of us make it from the pulpit down to the lowest part of what we call the lowest part of the church, at the altar, the prayer wall. He want to distort every part and make sure we don't make it out. So it's the devil that's standing against us. I'm not standing against you. Oh, Apostle Caleb, I'm not standing against you when he preached the word and keep talking about what preachers are doing over and over again. The errors of those that lead. Oh, praise God. Amen. It's the devil. We all have the same enemy as Michael and the angels fought against the dragon and his angels. The same enemy that fought against the angels in heaven is fighting against us today. We got the same enemy as heaven. We got that enemy on earth. And those who agree with him and have gone after him and taken counsel with him. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 10. All right, we're talking about war. Ephesians 6. Glory to God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Glory, glory, glory to the Lamb of God. Ephesians 6 and 10 said, now that you know we're in a war, you know what's wrong with you, you know what you're feeling. Like even if you're not with a physical person, even if nobody's there, there's you by yourself, you just feel like, wow, why my house feels so different? It's so intense. Why is it cold all of a sudden? Why is it hot all of a sudden? They're like, did I just see a shadow run past there? That I feel like something is here with me? Feel like my bed moved or squinch or what is going on? We know that we're in a war. We've been dancing and singing and some been slumbering and sleeping. And some babies, when they're born into the kingdom, you know, babies used to be born with their eyes closed and sealed. And it would take a matter of few days before their eyes come literally open. Means that babies begin to understand and to see our world, the world they're born into. Praise God, and to see the face of their parents, to see the face of their sibling, to see the place that they are living in, the eye opening. But now babies are not being born. Very few now today, and I did a study on that, research on that, very few now babies born with their eyes still sealed shut. Praise God. Now everything coming into this realm, passing through the womb or the gate of a woman, they're coming with their eyes wide open. You know why? Because daily the war don't start outside of the womb. The war is inside of the womb. Oh, the devil has access to the womb. And if women don't stay up under the power of God, stay in fasting and prayer, the baby will be shaped into something else. And whatever was in the loins of the husband, or whatever that rests in her loins, whether it's been a LGBTQP, transference, some other genetically modified interference, or whether it was a generational thing, or the war and the shaping starts in the womb. You got babies being born with five legs and two heads and three heads and three arms and no eyes and one eye. Cyclops babies being born today. Praise God, babies born with no mouth at all, no ears. Don't tell me the war is outside the womb. The war is inside the womb and in the house. War, man, has given place to the devil, and Paul warned us of not giving place to the devil in Ephesians 4. Amen. It's in the womb. He not, why you think he working on the blood and he need everybody's blood coming in? They get the blood and the handprint, the fingerprint, so they can read the archives of your blood, test your blood and your lineage, your connection, praise God, as well as the message in your footprint, in the linings of your footprint. Oh, yes. And then the lines in your hand tell a story. There's a prophecy in the lines in your hand. Oh, they got to get the handprint, the footprint of the baby. Come on, somebody. And they want some of your blood. They already have a record of the blood. These old alien creatures, these fallen angels, and all of their other entities they invented and created, they got a record. And they know when to start tugging it, and they start practicing creating viruses. Oh, to kill out whole generations of people. They keep putting this virus on a specific blood, and they come up as royal, that is precious, that's likened to the angels' blood, golden, and they see it as close to perfect, no infirmities in the blood. Oh, if you come in born with no disease, and they start right then with back bacteria and viruses that they find in the sepulchre of the pharaohs and all those who died with curses and viruses sealed in cage, they opening up trying to capture and embody in the prison this virus, squeezing them to an appointed time, and then they find that bloodline of that household that have something that can destroy their demonic future, and then they'll put it in that area to target that home or that nation or that race of people. But he said, now, we're not fighting against flesh and blood, y'all. Let me look at my time. Jesus. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We are not fighting against some dummies or somebody unskillful in righteousness or don't have good strategy, but we are fighting against these spirits that was cast out. They tried to overthrow heaven. I mean, they weren't smart enough that they did overthrow. They were kicked out like that and down to the earth. And the angels start saying, rejoice, y'all, in heaven. Oh, we got rid of him. We got rid of it, man, and we couldn't overthrow it. No telling what heaven would look like. And remember they say a song, Tupac say, if heaven is a ghetto, do heaven have a ghetto? It probably would have been ghetto the way you make people trash everything and destroy everything. What would heaven look like if he was running it? My God, it wouldn't be no sun. It wouldn't be no light. It would be a place nobody can see nowhere. We say, what is there to see? We don't need to see anything. Let everything be full of darkness. Let everything be ignorant. Amen. So he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. You got to be strong. Stop talking weak. He said to the weak, let the weak say I'm strong. You don't need to get up every day ensnaring yourself. All we talking now, I ain't nobody. You saving, you sanctified, you still got an advantage of the devil. You still got the Holy Ghost. You still got a mighty spirit in you. Even the strongest saint, the person that have the Holy Ghost, still got more power than the devil. You may not know all the scriptures like some of us, and we don't know it all. We still learning. It's still unfolding. But even the wicked saints still got more power than the devil. You're still with God. You're still trying to pray. You're still reading. You got the Holy Ghost. You've been given power over all the power of the devil. Why keep speaking negative things over your life? I ain't got no power, and I ain't this, and I'm this, and I ain't that, and I don't feel this way, and I don't. Stop it! You are snared by your own words. And the entities that's been assigned to you to watch you and to buffet you, to bring you down, they'll run and say, oh, yeah, they just loosed this here. They said this. Let's work it. Let's make it. Multiply those entities that work in behalf of that that they just spoke. They released it. They spoke it. So let's bring it to pass. Let's work it. Let's finish the oppression. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You got to walk in confidence on what you have and what God say of you. What God think of you, that's what you think of you, and that you will be. If you're listening to other negative folk, what people say about you, if you think on that and you worry about that, think about that day and night, that's what you're going to be. Amen. He say, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able. You got to put the whole armor, not pieces. You need all of it. You need all of the spiritual blessings that God has given us in heavenly places, every gift, every virtue, every talent, every member. You need the body of Christ. Put the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. All of his schemes, his trickery, his plots, his conspiracies, his negative words against you, the negative energy, amen, the lies, the you say I says against you, amen, to make you think more of yourself than you ought to. Praise God. Amen. He said, if you be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, God is giving you something that you can stand, something that's going to help you make it through. But you got to put on the power of God. Put on the arm of God. Get back to fasting. Fast till you conquer that thing that only going to come down but by that. Amen. Glory to God. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This ain't flesh and blood. This is spirit. It coming all born down to eternal weight. The eternal weight you carry. Amen. You got to use your spiritual muscles. You got to use whatever you've been given in the spirit from God to fight spirit. You got to use your virtues. You got to use your talents. You got to use the gifts of the spirit. You got to use the fruit of the Spirit. You got to have the divine nature and the divine power of God to conquer this evil that's rising. Nothing can stand against God. Nothing can stand against the truth. The Bible said that we can't do nothing against the truth but for the truth. Even the devil knows that his last word would be the truth is right. God is God. He say, but against some, we're fighting against principality, prince spirits, and we have demonstration of this through the word of God. And Daniel, the prince of Persia, the entities that sit in the heights of the cloud over the four corners of all of the people on those parallels whose cities and countries sit up under these strategic regions. And we had examples of princes. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He's the major prince. And then you had the prince of Persia. And then look at the other princes you have on all the four corners. Studying that, he said, we are fighting who, and they're giving authority down to powers. All those that set the fallen angels that are walking to and fro on the earth that have joined themselves to businesses, companies, and have taught them recipes and taught them how to make potions, taught them how to make Anheuser-Busch and Slip Moss Liquor Bush and Natty Batty and Mad Dog 2020, who had them to formulate today's drugs as crystal meth and crack and, oh, praise God, all the different forms of opioids. Praise the Lord. Amen. And you looking at all the other potions, create medicines to see, just put a little potion of the herb in it. But I want you to put other destroying preservatives and chemicals in it that will create other disease while they take it and think they getting healed, and we helping them with the stuff that passed through under the disguise of doctors and the emergency rooms and the pharmaceutical businesses. But it's going to add more disease to the flesh. It's going to weaken the bones. It's going to shut down the kidneys. It's going to irregulate the blood pressure. Praise God. It's going to cause tumors. It's going to cause sexual excitement. It's going to take away the sex drive, so we will have more humans against us, outnumbering us as fallen angels. Come on, the power, things that have power over the body, to disable the body, to decrease their multiplication, to decrease their health, to immobilize them that they can't run and jump and play and have no energy to do nothing. Oh, I'm sleepy. I'm tired. Oh, I'm sick. Oh, I'm this. Come on, the realm of powers, they run in that crack house. They are creating the drugs, the drug houses, and they are hiring the drug dealers. The drug dealers are very valuable to the realm of powers, and those who are chemists are working with the realm of power, and those who are able to do incantations in the music zone, all of them working together to take a man and a woman's mind out of God in the things of God. Amen. He said the realm of power is anything that have power over you. You know, left the power of God, left believing the report of the Lord to believing earthly reports. All of what man has said up against the word of God. He said, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, all those over, praise God, the X-rated theaters, up against those over the club scenes, the strip clubs, and over, praise God, the necromancy fetishes and necrophilia fetishes, those who are over all the kingdoms of darkness, the rulers of darkness, keep men in a dark place. Don't let no light shine at all in that community. Don't let nobody preach in there. Make a law and forbid them to have a street meeting there to preach over there. I want that area to stay dark, because we have a portal there. We have been, where from time to time a vortex open. Some of us come out at times, and it must stay dark in order for us to get in and out of earth or to walk these regions. The rulers of the darkness, keep people in the darkness. Keep them away from God. Keep them from hearing God. Praise God. Of this world, somebody in this world, the war is right here in this world. He got kicked out of heaven already. Now, we know that sometimes when the angels go up in the sin, the ones coming down, they kick them out of the literal place. But anything under the sun, they war with dimensions under the sun. They can't go above it, because above that is the heavens of heaven where they were thrown out. So anything given to man under the sun, they are warring. They see that angel coming with a blessing, or a messenger angel, or whatever, a ministering spirit coming. They start fights with them. We can't let them get to them. We can't let them come and tell them that or give the interpretation of that, because it's going to break this off of them. What we told them, got them believing now, now this is coming. Stop them. Hold them up. Said the rulers of the darkness of this world, all them that's over them club scenes, every club in the world, every liquor place in the world, every porno book place, porno club, every occult church that teach darkness, teach people to believe in darkness, teach them vampirism, teach them to be blood drinkers, teach them to be cannibalists. Darkness, the very thing that God should not do. Let those teachers be given a platform. He's saying spiritual wickedness in high places, all of you half-preaching preachers. You're wicked when you don't preach the whole truth. You're wicked when you don't tell the whole truth. You play with it. Why preach? You're a witch. You got a rebellious spirit. When you have preached, you're rebellious and stubborn. God said, I'm calling you to teach my truth. That means from Genesis to Revelation, teach the whole truth. The whole, don't add, take away from television as it is. Read the word as it is. And I will give you the interpretation. I will open up the revelation to you. And we have to do it. We skip around it. That means you part of spiritual wickedness. You don't want the spirits of men's eyes to be open, because you won't be able to manipulate them and use them and get more money, get more shoes, houses, cars. You can't get what you want of the earth. Spiritual wickedness, witches, warlocks, wizards, humans, devils in the flesh, shapeshifters, transformers, fake ministers, wolves in sheep clothing. Amen. And when we allow somebody to come in and hit the pulpit and preach spells, preach lies, is a spell. We're wicked. Nine times out of ten, you already fired. That's why you continue to do it and have a change of course in your style of ministry, how you run it and do it. The Bible says you're wicked. You're wicked when you don't tell the truth and the whole counsel of God. Amen? He said, spiritual wickedness in high places, wherefore take unto you the whole armor. You're going to need the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. And the word withstand in the Greek, the Hebrew, and the Aramaic mean you go through without changing, looking backwards, talking about giving up, not broken and bruised. Well, you got to go back to the potter's wheel. This is a person that have moved to a place where the wicked one touches them not, and they'll not keep laying the same foundation of repentance or cracking under pressure, or their strength gets small and they give up in the day of adversity. Withstand means you ain't falling and failing, but you're steadfast and going forward in the evil day. And we are in the evil day, where Daniel talks about the overspreading of abominations, and it's twofold of that version of scripture where he said they are making the final consummation. People have, you got proof of people final decision when they start putting pentagrams and devil stars on them and skull and bones and demons all over them. That's proof of their consummation, their final decision. They have chose darkness to be signaturizing it. They're putting the sigils on them, the signature of hell on them, saying, I'm in covenant with hell. I'm in covenant with the devil and his angels. When you see that, person can't be trusted unless you for sure lay hands and you cast the demon out and you know he came out. Other than that, I would mingle with those who have made a full consummation. They are totally intimate with evil. They love it when they start mocking their flesh with demonic symbolism and imagery. He said, having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. It's going to describe the parts of the armor you're going to need. And having on the blessed breastplate of righteousness. Hallelujah. You ain't going to change, and you're not going to let evil communication change your right living. Praise God. You're going to keep doing what's right. I don't care what penetrates your heart. How it's so tempting. How it looks so good or smells so good. You got that breastplate on. Guard your heart. The breastplate guards your heart, your desires, your cravings, whether it's sexual, amen, or psychological. do the things to guard your desires, to control your desires, to master your desires. Don't be desires of vain glory and unclean things. And you, he said, your feet to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. When you go, carry the word with you everywhere you go. And the song says, take the Lord with you everywhere you go. Take the Lord with you everywhere you go. Oh, everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, you ought to take the Lord with you. Everywhere you go, your feet shod. When you go with the gospel. You take the word with you. Don't be ashamed of the word in the different environments. You say, I ain't going to say nothing here and rhyme them. No, they talking about something else. You better bring that word in. You're responsible for that very hour. And above all, taking the shield of faith. You got to believe the word. You got to believe it. That's your shield, your faith. The faith is this word that we're preaching. Our faith. Faith means the thing you believe in. What you believe in the most. Take the shield. Take your faith everywhere you go. Take in the shield of faith. Keep that word with you. If not in a literal Bible in your heart, don't ever grieve it or quench it or hold back on it. Whereof you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. They throw something out of darkness, trying to weaken you. An incantation of spell, slang that word. Bring a sword out. Amen. And cut it down with the word. But the word say, thus and so. And he's saying, take the helmet of salvation. Amen. That means get your mind governed. Get your thoughts in order. Let your meditation be upon the word day and night. That's your helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. You keep that word. That's what you're going to fight with. This is how we're making it through, by staying in the word. You say, which is the word of God, and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And in this verse he said, you got to pray about everything. Praying always means to pray about everything. Praying always with all prayer, about everything, with every emotion. Amen. Don't get just stuck in praying in English and praying a shotgun prayer, nominated down to sleep. You need to learn how to marinate in prayer, to release all of your emotions, because Joel describes this as God wants every emotion expressed in prayer. You know you got to have time for it. You can't just move through prayer fast and do a shotgun prayer, be in a hurry prayer, but you need time where you can get in and experience all the emotional levels, everything in your photons, your neutrons, your electrons moving, being charged by the presence of God, the maker, the one who made you on that 666 level, six electrons, six neutrons, six, praise God, photons, amen. We need God to charge our blood, to charge our body, to revive it, to rejuvenate it. You got to find time for prayer if your body going to have endurance through all the attacks that's coming after your spirit, because they want you on their side. The other spirits, the one on the other side, want you on their side. And you're going to need the power of God against the evils that's rising, because we see an unholy malice across this nation. Amen. We see the harassment of hell. Hell is harassing the saints. Praise God. So you got to stay with God, the same God that fight. Amen. Praise God, the same fight. We have the same fight today, and God has chosen you. Amen. But the thing is, amen, to war good warfare, it takes a detailed planning on war, and to have good strategists, experienced people talking about war, how to fight this, how to fight that. What do you see in the north, how to deal with northern demonic things, how to deal with that in the south, how they're moving, chilling in the sun, but in the north they love the cold. How do you deal with these entities in these different regions and the ones that's ruling the crack house? Amen. You got to know somebody who understands the spirit realm and how to fight this stuff. Everybody talking about war. They're just saying to you, but what is the strategy? How do we fight this? How many fat days we give to this? Is it hours or is it days that we give to this? How do we, what scriptures do we use? What do we recite? Even if you memorize them, I have to open the Bible and quote it during this hour dedicated against opioid demon, you spirit of sorcery. You spirit of perversion. But there must be disconnection in my closing. It must be total disconnection for me. You got saints always talking about the LGBTQ and then how they don't like it. And this overspreading of abomination is that you talk about. And there would have to be a part two on this teaching. But they sit right in their houses. Turn on they smart TV and watch Mud Deal, this and Mud Deal that and Chinene and Mrs. Domfire and all these cross-dressing men, and then you allow it to entertain you and you wonder why. You don't have no power over that entity. You don't have no power over perversion. Because his tools is around your house. It sits in the main meeting room for entertainment to put you back to sleep, to put you back on snooze. Amen. To numb you down and not to do it, and to make you think it's funny so it can finish rooting and grounding itself and anchoring itself in your granddaughter, your grandson, your daughter, your son, the members of your church, the people in your care, your best friend, praise God, because you laugh and you think it funny and you're in danger of it, because the scriptures say in Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 28 to 32, of God say, when I start punishing Sodom in the city, sister city again, I'm not only going to punish them that do it, those who are married in it, in the actual act, and you who are pastors and leaders that have married them, he say, I'm not only going to punish them that do it, that literally in the act or had the sex change, but guess what? He say, I'm going to punish you too that have pleasure in them that do it. The entertainment is your sign of the pleasure in them that do it. And now the devil got it, well, he's making it funny. Rick is smiling, posing, and dressing as an old sanctified woman coming in the church, make the church laugh at it, because he know if he keep the church weakened and laughing at it and entertained by it, they know the church will never rise up back up into power. Praise God, but it's still weakened. And they can still run the course, and everybody that who will be sent to the house of God, because the gospel got to be preached to every creature. It's got to come to all of the LGBTQ, every creature. Then the end is going to come. But if the church is in a state of entertainment, they have a movie night at the church and plan those movies in the church, and then when a person come in need to be free, really want to be free, everybody don't want to stay gay. Of stay a homosexual or lesbian. Some of these people really want out of that life. But you got it playing in the church, and it's the Lord have mercy. You can't get nobody free from that when you have pleasure in it. It's a part of your entertainment. You need to get rid of all of your movies on all cross-dressing movies. Get rid of the cartoons. Stop them from flowing through your house. If you're going to deal with this stronghold, global stronghold, amen. And so we're in a war, and Hey, we in the army of the Lord. If someone say I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord, amen. I'm going to fight till I die in the army of the Lord. I got my war clothes on in the army of the Lord. If I die, let me die in the army of the Lord. Amen. The devil is my enemy in the army of the Lord. I'm going to fight him till I die in the army of the Lord. You cannot fight the things that we are at now that God sees. Jesus said that there are some things only going to come out but by fasting and prayer. Disabilitating spirits, epilepsy, amnesia, Alzheimer's, and all these things that the early church work miracles on, can do. Know why? People are sicker, and they can't go to the elders because the elders not consecrated. Then the church ain't fasting and praying like it used to, so they got to send them all to the potion house. The potion, sure, they got some machines to tell you some things, and you got to understand and believe that. But when you start taking other stuff, you're just adding more disease to your body. Praise God. So we're in a war, people of God. And God has prepared everything we need for what we're facing. He's been trying to prepare us for many years now to bring us to the place for the finale of everything, the end game, the last battle, the final phase of fight with men now and women now coming up to the greatest temptation ever known to mankind, and that's for the exchange of their soul. We know the mark of the beast is at the door. It's just as close as my hand to my body. And I stretch my arm out, my hand is right there, very close. That's how close it is. It's not a few years off. It's months off from being announced. Just a few months from being announced. Not years from being announced. A few months away from the announcing of cashlessness, and you need this chip. And people say, well, it ain't that. People need to stop preaching, talking about this. It's that too, along with you got the wrong spirit. You have the spirit of the beast, the mind of the beast, and then to take the chip, because that's the thing that they said that you take and you won't be able to buy or sell unless you got it. How are you going to explain that away and say it's not that? And then you've got to have that to buy, sell, or trade, or to work, or to keep getting a Social Security check or a disability check, or to get food stamps. You won't be able to do nothing unless you have it put in your body. So how can people explain that away? We know it's the spirit of the beast because people don't receive the Holy Ghost. And they reject the word. He say, teach it, rather they hear or forbear. If they accept it or not, tell the truth always. Buy the truth and sell it not. Don't sell out. Are you scared you're going to lose? Ain't your people? No way. They're God's people. If one walk away, he'll replace it with two or three more. Just do what he say. And say what he said say. And you'll be blessed forever. Amen. We thank God for the word today because we're still in the message on the Lord's book of war is open. The Lord's, capital L, Lord's book of war is open. War is here, and this is the fight for your life. This is the time when you got to prove your weapon and your endurance. Will you endure to the end? Will you continue to stand that you're standing on now on the whole truth and nothing but the truth? Who will it that will trick you or bribe you or cause you to change truth in order to have them as a friend or wife or spouse? Who is it that you will compromise for a few moments of sex or orgasm? A few moments for some perverted sex, a few moments just look at this, a snippet, a few seconds of pornography. Amen. Little leaven living the whole lot. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And you must do all you can to maintain your consecration. Keep it moving. Keep it moving in the spirit. Keep praying. Pray till something happen. Push till something happen. Keep striving lawfully till you move to the place where you don't have to keep laying the foundation of repentance over the same thing over and over again. Do as 1 John 5:18 say, and I close with that, and it goes to Apostle Calvin. Move to that place. The Bible says that he that is born of God sinneth not. He that is born of God sinneth not. You're born, you first baby. The baby's not sin. Because when you first born again, man, you scared to sin. You won't even play with sin. You won't laugh at it. You won't do nothing to dibble dabble in sin, slip and slide, keep it high. When you first born, a baby come in the world, they don't know nothing about sin and sin content. It take a period of a time because the law, the spiritual law, has been set for the opening of the soulless realm and the temptations and the rebellion begins. It's at a certain age, but you want to move to the place where the wicked one touches you not, where Satan has nothing on you. He ain't got nothing on you. You're being careful in everything you do or say. You're not laughing at a joke. You're legally, you got to fast every week. You should not let 1 week pass without a fast. If it ain't but 6 hours, a number, use a strategic number. Lord, I know I can't go for so long. I'm going to do it 6 hours this week. And next time I'm going to try to do 8 hours or overnight. And I'm not going to eat or drink nothing. Please let this offering be acceptable to you. Let this be the acceptable fast that I can break this yoke off my family or family member or off of me, or this off of my body, that I can be free from high blood pressure medicine, that I can be free from insulin. I can be free from mind medicine or mind-altering medicine, because it's his will that we all be free indeed. He said the truth make us free. And you wonder why people are not free? Because they got too much of enticing words of man's wisdom in the mix instead of just teaching strictly from the Bible and leave all the other books out. Let's just stay with what we have there. Now, there's this stuff, take it out. And the Holy Ghost know how to maneuver you around it, but stay in that book. Amen. And you'll find yokes breaking off of people like never before. And you got to get back to prayer to bring them closer to God. Amen. Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy that's been extended toward us and for preparing a table before us. Oh, we thank you. We thank you. Lord, it did burn in our hearts, and we pray that it be sealed upon our hearts and our minds, that nothing, nowhere, no one nowhere can steal it from us. Sanctify this word in our heart. Let it be hid forever, that no enemy, nothing will take it away from us. Oh, God, stir every gift, every talent, every virtue. Stir them upon their pillows, upon their beds, going out and coming back in. Keep them from all evil, all the destruction that's set up at noonday, all the plots and the plans of the enemy. Magnify the arm of God upon them, that nothing will penetrate them, permeate from the first layer of the skin down to the marrow of the skin, destroy any archives in the bone, in the blood, to keep the whole body rejuvenated. We pray that you would keep them and bless them forever in Jesus' name. Save today and convict the sinner's heart of sin. Let them not be satisfied living in sin. Let them not be satisfied, Lord. Convict their hearts of sin. And God, we pray that you'll work true repentance by this word in them, that repentance that need to, but not to be repented of. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Back into your hands, Apostle Calvin.
Bless the Lord, all my soul, and everything that's within me. Let's bless his holy name. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for the word that you have given us today. Thank you for allowing us to look into the corridors of heaven today. through your word what you want us to do here on earth. We ask, O God, that you forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Lord, we ask you, Father God, that you refill your servant even right now. Replenish all that she has poured out, O God. Open the window, the door, and the gates of heaven for her right now, Lord. God, cause her vessel to overflow like David's cup. And Father, continue to order her steps in your word, O God. Let your word be a lamp unto her feet and a light unto her path. We ask, O God, as she go forth, God, that you'll be a shield and a buckler unto her, that you'll be the strong tower that she run into for safety, O God. We ask, Father God, that you bless everything that concern her, O God. As you said, you will perfect that which concerneth her. Keep her in perfect peace as her mind is stayed on you, Lord God. We'll forever give you glory and honor and praise for O God, for her, for the way you uses her. Peek into our hearts, into our minds, into the atmosphere. Make the devil shake in his boots. Father, we thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody out there today, you're not going to take you long, that if you don't know Jesus, it's a time right now for you to repent. There's so much going on. I was just watching early this morning one of my brothers from Canada. He's a preacher from Canada. He was in London, England, preaching on the streets. He's an evangelist. And the gay people called the police on him. He was preaching out of Romans chapter 1. And they say that he's talking about them and making them feel uncomfortable. And the police says, if you're making people feel uncomfortable, we can't allow you to preach the word, even though it's coming out the Bible. So we need people today to hear the truth, even when it don't feel good. Lord, there's somebody today that need to hear the truth. They heard the word this morning. They would hear it tomorrow night, tonight, sometime in the future when they come by Blog Talk Radio. We want to give them the opportunity to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. If you don't know him, the Bible says very clear that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It also said that God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. All of us has been lost. Because the Bible said all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible also says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So if we continue in sin, we will die a spiritual death. We all know that we all going to die at some point in time, but you don't want to die a spiritual death. Spiritual death means that you're going to be in the lake of fire and brimstone with Satan and all his other demons and all those that rejected Jesus as Lord and Savior. But today we want to give you that chance. He said, if you call upon him, he would in no wise cast you away. He also said, no one can come to him except you draw them. So if you hear in your spirit that God is drawing you to him to come and lay down your life that you might take up the life that he has for you, this is your opportunity to denounce Satan. Denounce Satan and his agents. Repent for your sin, according to Acts 2 and 38. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is what the Bible says. This is what God is saying to us today. To you today that's out there in computer land that are not saved, that are not sanctified, that don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you die the next minute, the next second, you will go directly to hell. Because you have not make your path clear by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord. So if you want to receive him today, say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. I recognize that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe in what happened at Calvary, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11. I am confessing with my mouth right now that which I believe in my heart, that you were crucified, that you died on that cross, that you were buried, and that God raised you up on the third day. I believe in my heart, and I'm confessing with my mouth For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believe in him shall not be ashamed. Tell the Lord Jesus now that you denounce Satan. So Lord Jesus, I denounce Satan and his agents and all of the world system. My past life, Lord Jesus, I lay it at the foot of the altar, at the cross right now. And I'm asking you, Jesus, to wash me in your precious blood. Cleanse me, according to 1 John 1:9. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness, O God. Forgive my sins, Lord. Make me whole, Jesus, because I want to be whole. I want to be a child of God. I want to be part of your family. And the only way I know I can be a part is if you forgive me and receive me in your arms as your child. Today I'm opening my heart and inviting you to come in. I invite you now because I know you're not going to go where you're not invited. So I'm inviting you now, Jesus, to come into my heart and be my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. If you said that, yes, into your heart. If you say, but I don't feel anything, it's not about feeling, it's about knowing. It's about knowing that Jesus is faithful and just. He is faithful and just to forgive your sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and put you in right standing with God by washing you of your sins that kept you away from God. Get a Bible and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Book of Acts. So you can start from Genesis and go on to Revelation, however you want to start. But I recommend that you start to learn the Gospels. Study the Gospels. That means to go over and over till the word begin to become part of your heart. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I will not sin against you. Put the word in. The word will convict you to help you to grow in the things of God that you will not see. Then I want you to call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone that know how to baptize, and tell them that you received the gift of salvation, that you are studying your word, but you need to be baptized according to Acts 2:38. They might say they don't baptize that way. Well, don't get mad with the pastor and then want to cut up like your old life. Don't burn the bridge that you might have to walk back over, because you may become the church, the pastor of that church in the years to come. Who knows? So just tell the pastor, if you say they don't baptize in Jesus' name, say, well, okay, pastor, I'll get back in touch with you as soon as I get my family and the guests that I would like to come and witness my baptism. Look for pastors that will baptize you in the way pastors baptize. And when you get baptized, consider you going into the liquid grave where you're leaving all the things that held you in bondage. You're leaving in that water. You are dying to this world. And you're coming up alive to Christ Jesus. And when you come up that water, find you a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel and get yourself involved in ministry. Don't be a spectator, but be a participator in what is going on. Ask the pastor, pastor, I want to do something. If it is not but cleaning the altar, vacuuming the sanctuary, cleaning the bathroom, but do something, picking up the trash off the grounds, do something. All that is ministry. Not just preaching. And I want to just thank all you all that received the gift of salvation today. And I thank God for those that will receive later, because we know the word was strong and the word was pulling. It was cutting. And you hear something in the word that belongs to you. And it will draw you, impress you to get closer to Christ. God bless you all. Thank you for hearing and for receiving salvation. The line is now open. Thank you so much, prophetess. The line is open. Anyone want to come and encourage the woman of God? Line is open.
Thank God for the word.
Bless Amen. The Lord.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And he has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. Bless his holy name. Thank God for the word. Yeah, I am on the road, but I had the word yesterday. I had to get back to work. I want to talk to the managers and everything. And I didn't get a chance to comment on yesterday either, but thank God. Well, I've been trying to get on it all week. I know the enemy really been fighting, speaking this kind of truth and putting, telling on the devil. He's trying to stop him and keep him from speaking the word of God. But, man, I tell you, that word was good and powerful all by itself. I just know one thing. God is so patient towards us, even though the enemy is trying to accuse us every day and night, trying to accuse us and trying to call the judgment of God upon us. Thank God for his mercy and grace over our lives. But I enjoyed the word so much, and man, I just thank God for the truth. I'm not going to be able to be on it long. I got to get back to work and pay attention to the road traffic, trying to pull up today. But I just thank God for the word. It was so powerful. And, you know, just show you just how serious things are getting. And how we got to really, you know, be sober. As you were saying, put on the whole armor of God. And we have to do that, that when it comes down to the thing that we're dealing with today, there's so much going on, and we got to really have a real fast and free life to be able to overcome the enemy. And that's through the word of God, putting on the whole armor of God, making a good part. You know, one of my favorite scriptures, that when she was bringing the word, was Romans chapter 1, chapter 12, verse 1, where it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present to by the living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, unto God, which is a reasonable servant is. And then verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewal of your mind. I just thank God for that word. It was just so powerful. So powerful. And then just thinking about, you know, the persecution that's coming. You know, people don't want truth no more. You know, people fight that truth. And she was just saying about how people can see, well, people, like when I be out on truck stops in different places, you got a lot of witches coming out. Like today I was seeing a lady there on one of the truck stops, she had pimply ground earrings on and had two pimply ground. I said, ma'am, I said, are those pimply ground earrings? Oh, yeah, those are pimply ground. I got two long two of them on my arm. And then she said, I'm a witch too. And I looked at her, I said, okay. And I just walked on off. I didn't want to get in no debate with her. But you see a lot of those people, Luciferian people, all in the restaurants now, in truck stops, and they something everywhere. So that's why you really have to pray where you're going to eat at, and, you know, where you can set your foot at, and make sure you got the whole arm of God so you can be protected by God and his blood. But I just thank God for the word. I pray that, you know, that the word, you know, God continue. That was the high word in the heart that we're going to sin against you. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Jones. You know, I got a message from one of the ministers, the pastor, last night, and I shared her something. I think I shared something that your mother had sent me about the stuff that was going on. And the lady sent me, the pastor sent me, she said, you know, pastor, I would go in the nighttime to take my dog to walk. And she said this strange dust been falling out of the sky. She lived in Philadelphia, somewhere over there. She said this strange dust been coming out the sky. He said, I never paid any mind. See, we have to pray. This thing is serious. You understand? It's serious. Important, I hear her saying today, is about fasting and praying. People don't want to hear the truth. And as you were saying this just now, Minister Jones, I thought about when you're talking about going to, you got to be careful where you're going to eat. Yeah, I don't go to the restaurant. I don't go to restaurants anymore. I like to eat home, you know, because so much stuff happening out there. Not that I'm afraid. Once in a while I go to a restaurant. But so much stuff. But if I go to a restaurant, I make sure that I pray over my food, because you got some warlocks and witches working in the kitchen. And they speak over your food. Understand? And that spirit comes. You have to pray over your food. Bless your food. Don't care what nobody's saying. I don't care how they talk over my food. When I get it, I'm going to mess that stuff up, because I'm going to speak the word of God over what's going in my belly. Understand? And talk about those people out there that they're living contrary to God's word. They don't want to hear the truth, but you got to speak it anyway, because even though they don't want to come and listen to it, you can't stop yourself. You can plug your ears. You're still going to hear. And once they hear it, they got to give an account for it. They have to give an account for it. That's why we can't compromise the word. We got to speak it like we speak it here on Blog Talk, really. You got to speak it real. If you go to Apostle Stewart Church, Apostle Joy Stewart, you're going to hear it real. They don't water down the word. You can't water down the word. You got to give it just like it is in that Bible. You got to give it just like it is. You understand? And this is what it's all about. What prophets released today was powerful, powerful. He talks about living a promiscuous lifestyle, a lifestyle that is contrary to God's way, just for a few seconds, just for a minute, just for an hour, you know, getting involved with the wrong people, you know. We have to pay attention, you know, because it'd be too late. It's too late. We're almost there. The man said this morning, he says with the next month, it's going to be digital money. Right now they're releasing it in New York City, Washington, D.C. You know, banks are making the change over. People are sitting down. They ain't telling their church. You got to tell the church. You got to warn the church. You got to prepare the church because it's going to happen so sudden. Folk is not going to even believe that what's happening, what they're doing to us. But that's what we vote for. That's what the people voted for. Is it went from one, from the pot, or from the frying pan to the fire. But we got to stay hooked. We got to stay connected to Christ Jesus. We got to stay. There's no better or worse. Christ is the best. If you leave from him, you're going into fire. And I determined that I'm going to follow him, no turning back. I've decided to follow Christ. I'm not turning back. So the line is open. A lot of people on the line. Anybody want to come on and encourage the woman of God? If you need prayer, somebody will pray for you. The line is open.
I'll tell you another thing, Apostle. You got to be careful, too. Bill Gates, maybe say his name on a line, but they create these mosquitoes in the lab that's going out in certain communities. And they've been sitting or spraying it. Also, they're not just only spraying sickness in the sky, the chemtrails. They got these mosquitoes, these lab-grown mosquitoes that they done created. They got these diseases that's going out, deadly diseases that's going out. So you got to really be praying about that. You know, they showed you in the movie with Jackie Chan, with this mad scientist created these bugs to go out, and he couldn't ever be successful because the government went out to him and put him in a stop. But then I'm like, man, you know, it's amazing how they'll show you in the movie first, and then it manifests itself. But yo, y'all, that's right. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a great genocide going on because they doing everything they can to depopulate, and then they targeting certain neighborhoods, certain areas. And, you know, like I was even in a restaurant, cause I was in Waffle House one morning. I went and I said, I'm going to grab it at the east side, go unload my truck. And, man, the guy, I looked at the guy in my spirit, because it's like I be in class when I'm out here. Like, I'm going to cause all kind of witches to boil out. My spirit said, look it up. Look at his arm. So I let on, I see the pentagram and all that there. This man had a necklace with a Baphomet on his necklace on, and he was a cook at the Waffle House. I told the lady, I said, ma'am, I changed my mind. I didn't take the juice. You know? I didn't want to feed my food, but I can't let you feed my food. I ain't tell him that, but I was saying, you know, in my mind. I said, yeah, what's wrong? I said, nah, man, I'm fine. I got to go ahead and go. So I went somewhere else, got me something, but yeah, you got to put on the whole armor of God and be wise, you know, and pray
that's
about
right.
Where you go in, Lord. You know that because you know you just never know. Even when you're in the shopping mall, you know they have their own stores. You got to look at the symbols and stuff and signs and stuff that be on these places because there's lots of people
right.
In Starbucks. I ain't got to deliver me with Starbucks. And Starbucks is a worship of a.
I was just going to say the same thing. Yeah.
Mermaids and the Baphomet with that star on there, that's the Baphomet of Lucifer and Mermaid. That's a mermaid on there, mermaid god. And the people that own that are Luciferian. And I said, look, you got to deliver me for Starbucks. I love going and getting their coffee. And it's like, I said, Lord, you got to help me because most of the stuff we buy, they own most of the fashion. Most of the stuff we get now is owned by Luciferians and people that worship Satan. So you have to pray and ask God to give us wisdom about, you know, everything we get and everything that we buy, because it's just that serious about everything. You know, the Bible says, you know, be sober. You know, sober for your adversary. I think we say it all the time on here, because, you know, sometimes it's so easy not to be sober, and with the cares of life, so much going on, and dealing with your body, and dealing with your job, trying to survive, and pay your bills, and seem like you're working just to pay bills, and it's like, man, it can get overwhelming, you know, and you forget to be sober and watch and pray at the same time, because you be so overwhelmed with the cares of this life and trying to survive, and you forget that God is, He said He'll never leave you or forsake you. Sometimes we get like that. I get like that sometimes. And I have to pray like, Lord, you say you'll never leave me, but sometimes you get a little weary, you know, and so, you know, you just have to continue looking up, you know, on the hill, like, what's coming out here, all out here, coming from the heaven, God that made heaven and earth. You know, that's Psalms 121. But I just thank God for the word. And y'all just be encouraged out there. Be encouraged to pray. And I just love what she was saying, because, you know, the word of God, Jesus said, no man should live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth. We need the whole road. Got to eat the whole road for us to be able to survive in this hour. God bless you.
Thank you so much. And, you know, Minister Jones, I was watching that video last night where the lady was talking about how they're injecting these out there, giving these mosquitoes this serum. In other words, the mosquitoes is sucking up the serum, because you can't put an injection needle in the mosquito. The mosquito is sucking up the serum, and then they make these eggs, and they carry these eggs in boxes, and they call the people and ask people if they can drop off this box, that they run an experiment, and they're paying the people to drop the box in front of their home, and the people will have the box in their yard, and the muskies will, they put water in the box in order to cause the eggs to germinate, and the eggs would hatch, and then they go out and inject people all in certain cities. I said, these people are wicked, man. They're wicked, wicked. And so they're trying to control population. So you get hit with these mosquitoes and you get a virus that the doctors can't prescribe nothing for it. They don't know what it is, what kind of sickness you got in your body. This is what they're doing right now. I watched a video last night, and the lady said that there's certain cities that they have already got these mosquitoes going. Like when they put the Zika virus, that was something that generated inside the lab. Mosquitoes, and to put the mosquitoes in certain areas in Florida, not all over Florida, certain areas, because they want to cut down that population. Now, I don't know if it's Latinos, if it's Cubans, whatever it is, but they put it in certain areas, and a lot of people was having babies that was deformed, you know, twisted head and half an arm, some didn't have no arm, and all this kind of foolishness, you know. But this is what they're doing, you know, and they sending a lot of that stuff to Africa too, because they want to control or limit the birth rate for the African Americans. You know, this is the thing. So anyway, but I thank you, man. You know, knowledge is power. You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't believe all that stuff. But when it starts hitting, then they say, well, I didn't know. I heard a preacher. I didn't believe that stuff a few months ago, how bad it was going to get in three to four months. And we're seeing it right now. Just last night, a man just stabbed a man in the head with a screwdriver. Don't know the man from Adam. But it's just that evil is in the earth. Satan is not winning, but he is controlling a lot of people, that their minds are open to wickedness, to evilness. I put a post on respond to it. And this man had his child on his shoulder. He's an Arab. And you have this little girl, and she have a gun. She have a machine gun that shot, you know, multiple bullets at a time, you know, like that. And she in the morning, about 6 or 7 years old, little girl. And he's shaking up in the air with a gun in her hand. And I said that we will never have peace in the earth until we teach the kids how to love. Well, what happened is that these people in all over the world, different countries, my country, your country, our country, wherever, they are teaching the children from young how to hate somebody, another race. They don't know anything about the black race or the Latina race or the Asian race, but they would teach their kids to hate that race. Hate the Irish, hate the Muslim, hate the Christian, hate the Jews. Hate somebody for no reason at all. Until we start telling the children that we are all the same from the same God. We got the same DNA, God's DNA in us. No matter what color, what class, what country or creed you come, we are the same. Start loving on one another. But we had that same deceptive spirit that took place in the Garden of Eden. We got that same deceptive spirit. So we are better. It's easier to teach somebody to hate than tell them to love. That's what's going on the earth right now. You know, the line is open. Thank you, Minister Jones. Thank you, Prophetess. Okay, Minister Jones, you can pray and close us out. Thank you so much. I know you're busy out there,
yes,
but
sir.
You can pray and close us out.
Yeah, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless your holy name. We tell you thank you for your presence, Lord. You say, well, two or three are gathered in your name. You'll be in the name, be in the midst of us, Lord. We have thank you, Jesus Christ, Savior of all mankind. Thank you for your blood that you shed on Calvary. Save us all. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, we bless your name today, God. I ask you, Lord, today, Lord, to have mercy upon our land, our children. Lord God, you see the things that are going on. You said these things will come to pass. You told us to look up and our redemption is drawn near. So, Lord, help us to keep set our faith on things above, our emotions and everything on you, Lord. Help us, God, to abide in you. You said in your word, if we abide in you, anything we ask, you shall be given. So, Lord, help us, Lord, get in that place with you. You said in your word that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under your shadow of the Almighty, Lord. So, Lord God, help us today. God, help us. Take us, Lord, with your power, your blood. God, in the name of Jesus, we plead the blood of Jesus against the spirit of suicide that's in our nation. We plead the blood of Jesus against human trafficking, sex trafficking. We plead the blood of Jesus against the satanic agenda and evil that's against us. We plead the blood of Jesus. God, you said, well, we loose on earth, you loose in heaven. You said, whatever we bind, you bind. We loose your power, your spirit, your joy and peace today, God, for those that receive your soul, your Holy Spirit. God, help them receive your Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, God, the Holy Spirit, God, that they be able to receive your power, God, that come upon us, Lord, God. You said you gave us power to come to us, God. God, help us, Lord, receive your power today, Lord. And for Lord, we pray and bless you. This is really your broadcast. God, those that are out there living, Lord, God, wherever they need, God, make a way for them, Lord. Whether it's financial, wherever it may be, Lord, see your healing. Those that need healing today, Lord. God, we forever bless your name, give your name the glory and honor. Bless every leader, every pastor, apostle, minister, prophet, whoever and auxiliary they are, Lord. Bless them today, Lord. Anoint them, Lord, to do, continue to do your will. Lord, continue, Lord, to send the word that you have given us, Lord, that we can finish the work and the will that you have called us to do. And Lord, I forever bless your name, give your name the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Minister Jones. Be safe out there. We thank God for all those that came on today and heard the word. I want you to know that we appreciate your presence. Thank you, Minister Jones, for your praying, for your response. Thank God for Apostle Stewart. We thank God for Pastor George. We thank God for Apostle Washington and Apostle Billy Jefferson. We thank God for Bishop James. Thank God for Deacon Fraser and Brother Mark that's with us. We pray God's strength for him and for his wife, for the children. We pray God continue to add to the Apostle Stewart, Pastor Joyce, our ministry, add to them, and continue to infuse them with a greater, stronger, more powerful anointing to glorify God, to edify God's body, to terrify the devil in every word that come out their mouth, cause the devil to move backward. We pray to see you all tomorrow afternoon. If you come on, I will be ministering if the Lord say the same. And I'm on this side of the grave. Don't forget Deacon Fraser. He comes on Friday night and Saturday night, probably 8:30 or so. His number is 712-432-3900. 712-432-3900. The access code is 308587. 308587. And he's a prayer line, and it's a line of the prayer ministry, and he's like to pray. He prays well. And prays for everybody. If you get a chance, stop by there and let him know that you're on the line. And if you got a prayer that you want to put out, or you need a prayer that you need answer, he will pray for you. He's a prayer warrior. God bless you all, and have a blessed, safe evening. Stay vigilant. Pay attention to your surroundings, okay? Pay attention, because we're living in perilous times. Believe what I'm telling you. You don't have to do anyone anything for them to try to hurt you. Pay attention. All right? God bless you, and be safe. Till we meet again, in Jesus' name. Bye-bye.